Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
Noah's name was on a worthy roster. John himself didn't make it to the worthy roster. Moses and the prophets are not there on the worthy roster, right? None of the disciples made it. And guess what? You and I didn't cut the mustard also. We're not on that worthy roster. We then, like John, should be weeping. We are unworthy. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be?
Rain down on me. I need you today. I can't live without you. Fill me again, I pray.
Our God is a compassionate God. As Pastor Ben will explain in today's message, there's not a single human in existence who is worthy of even stepping into God's presence, and there's only been one in the history of our species who was. He can't be in the presence of sin. Thankfully, that one perfect man, named Jesus, shared the compassionate heart of God and came bringing a message that if we trust in him for forgiveness, we can be deemed worthy despite our sin. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, as he begins his message, Worthy is the Lamb.
Today, John, who was with him, Jesus who commended his mom to John and John to take care of his mom, John sees the Lamb in heaven. And when that happens, it's original praise. It's worship that comes out from his heart, not only from him, from being there, but watch what happens around us. Let me say this to you. You begin to praise the Lord when the one who dies for you becomes ever so real. It's more than your head, I know about Jesus. It's when you know he's in your heart and what he's done for you. When you realize what he's done for you, we become appreciative and we can't hold worship back. Looking at our passage, Revelation chapter 5, I'm going to read this chapter, 14 verses. God's word says this, And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, all and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We are to take in the word of God. It's alive. It's real. And what we have is the privilege, the opportunity of being in the throne room from chapter 4. John was taken up, right? And where does he? He doesn't see his mom. He doesn't see his dad. He doesn't see this and that. Sometimes we think, when I die and get to heaven, first reunion is with my family. Maybe, maybe not. John goes up and the first thing he sees is heaven's throne. And he is around the Father. He is around the Son, the elders and things like that. So who knows? But the point is, he was taken up. We are in the third section of this book entitled Revelation. And chapter 1, verse 19, broke it down. He introduced Jesus, and then the things that are, with the seven churches at the time that were in that church period, and things that are of the future, right? The things which take place after this. So the things that take place after this means after the church period. Believe it or not, church came, Jesus came, started the church, right? We know at Pentecost. And the church had a purpose, so they preached Jesus crucified to pay for your sins. God wants you in heaven. He desires that none perish, that all would come. So Jesus gave his life for you. It's like getting that free ticket to go to the concert, to go to the movies, but better than anything, to go to heaven and live forever. The price has been paid for. That is the mission of the church, to present Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven. The time of the church will end. The mission of the church will be over with before you know it. And it ends by the rapture of the church being taken up, as John is foreshadowing here, being taken up into heaven. When we are taken up into heaven, it'll be for a period of 7 years. See, right now, we don't know how long the church period will be open, but we know that when we go to heaven, it's for 7 years. Meanwhile, down here on earth, it's a 7-year tribulation period. And then at the end of 7 years, Jesus comes back to the earth and he, as we say, sets up shop in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. No more sickness, no more, hey, come back, my feet hurt, my hair's all falling off. All that's over with for 1,000 years. But what happens at the end of 1,000 years? There is a kind of revolution that takes place. Satan is freed, and man, for whatever reason, follows him, and Jesus has to put it out immediately. But during all this time, the 1,000 years, you and I have been serving the Lord, defending the kingdom, doing what we have to. I don't mean by arms and things like that, but against speeches about, I don't know, we have to serve the Lord. I don't know if I want to go communion. And we're going to see that. And many people are going to be coming to the Lord, because we'll be kings, so we'll give direction. And we'll be priests. We will inform and teach. And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. So we're going to be busy for those 1,000 years. But since we're always with the Lord, when that 1,000 year ends, you don't have you won't be tempted to join the other side. You won't sin anymore once we leave this earth, by the way. Your body that comes back for the millennium is the glorified body, will be forever with the Lord. And then eternity starts for us. So we'll get there eventually. But right now, we are in this section. So we began with chapter 4 revealing heaven's open door. And John, again, our author, being taken into the throne room of God, and it was amazing. And it described these stones as colors of the throne, right? And he heard cries of holy, and the 24 elders around the throne, the living creatures, all worshiped the Creator. It filled John's ears with all this, and his eyes continued to gaze and wonder at the beauty of it all, being in that throne room of heaven. But then, church, all of a sudden, there was a situation, and it completely changed that whole atmosphere of prayer, of worship, and everything else. Completely changed the atmosphere, and John was left speechless. And with that, we are now ready for the rest of the scripture. Look at verse 1, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. These are the words from a fellow human being, John the Apostle. Started off with Jesus as the youngest apostle, the last living apostle during this time, if you may, in history, right? So let's make some observations here, right? From verse 1, as the throne room of God was all of a sudden quiet, it was all quiet, John, he looked to the one sitting on the throne. And we learn from this verse that God who is sitting has a scroll in his hand. And what is different is the fact that the scrolls that John had always seen, the scrolls of that time, as we say, were private, right? Meaning the writing on the scrolls is mostly on the inside. And it's rolled up and there's a seal on it. So you don't get to open it until the person who it was written for dies. John saw the scroll. It had seven seals, but it's written on the inside and it's written on the outside. And so typically, the scroll could not be opened until the death of the person for whom it was written. Thus, John waits. He waits, right? From verse 2, check this out, right? Observation. John sees a strong angel. Church, note to self. Note to self. Hollywood has deceived us. If you believe that there's always little angels on clouds, on harp, some of them are very effeminate looking, and they're just like that, right? That's not true here, because the Bible is telling us that he saw a strong angel. Sometimes you think that angels only play harps in heaven. I've heard guys say, I don't want to die and just go play a harp. I didn't play one on the earth. Why am I going to play one in heaven? And they laugh it off, but really that's all they know about the other life, because they get it from Hollywood. Therefore, the scripture says, nope, not really, right? So our second observation is that John sees this angel as strong. Here on the earth, you and I, we see and we note who are the bodybuilders among us. And though the bodybuilder would never say to you, dude, check this out, they'll never say that to us. But you and I, we see them and we say, that guy, he got buff, right? Glad he's my friend, right? So I bring this up to share with you that as well as here on the earth, how we are different as human beings and shaped differently and with different callings in our life, so it is in heaven. Because we learn from the book of Acts, right, that there was two angels and they're looking at the people as they're gawking, looking at Jesus being raised up. And they say, people, why are you just looking at the Lord? Don't you know that this same Jesus who is being taken up on the clouds will come back in like manner? And the Bible didn't describe them as strong. When Mary is at the tomb, here comes sees the angels and says, who are you looking for? And sometimes we get the impression they're young angels, but here they're strong. So the point is, as there are you and I, diverse people here on earth, so it is true in heaven. So don't be surprised if they're not all cookie cutter angels, like we are not cookie cutter human beings. If you didn't know that, ding, you got a nugget to take home with you. Now you know there's something different, right? All right. Third observation here is that not only does his voice, which is loud, matches his looks, right? But the angel is asking a question that invites one. He asks, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Now, remember, the throne room is silent all of a sudden. John is just quiet, right? And this guy has his voice to match it. And that's a big plus. Why is that a big plus? Because not all strong men today have a strong voice. I think I shared with you before, my brother in L.A. was at a market, and he was like the third person in line. And in front of him was a big guy. You can tell, it's just a big guy. He had a tank top and whatnot, so you could see his guns, as we say, his arms and whatnot. And his back is to my brother. My brother's in line, and the people are behind, lining up behind my brother. And this guy in front of him, this big guy, is waiting on someone in front of him. So the people in the back say, oh, my gosh, you know, these people, always, why don't they pay with their coupons or have their coupons ready? And have you ever felt the pressure, you know, and why don't they have their check? Why are they writing checks? Slide the card. You're taking too long writing checks. And so sometimes you feel the pressure. My brother's saying, you could feel the pressure. I could feel the pressure. People are saying this, and I'm trying to be nice to the people behind me. Like, I ain't telling this big guy whatever, right? And all of a sudden, my brother says, the big guy turned around. And my brother thought he was done. This guy's going to eat him up. But the big, strong guy says, I don't know why you're rushing me. It's not my fault. It's the people in front of us. You all need to learn to be patient. And he turned around. Well, the people all have their jaws dropped, you know, because the voice did not match the frame that's in front of them. And that's our world today. But here, no mistake, the strong angel had a voice, and that voice is saying, who is worthy to open up this scroll that has a future, that has everything going on in it? It's God's plan for the earth. Who is worthy? And that's what we have here. And so John, again, he waited and waited and waited. And from verse 3, again, observe that the invitation went out to heaven, to earth, and a place unknown to us, but outside of man's bag of marbles for understanding, there is a place that could have responded to the angel's invitation, known simply as under the earth, right? Heaven, earth, and under the earth. Oh, it's real. It's as real as heaven and earth is, but no one from there, from under the earth, no one responded, right? Church, all three places, heaven, earth, and under the earth, have been created by God. We know that heaven is God's throne room. We know that the earth is his footstool. And under the earth, perhaps, may just be his place of eternal punishment. I remember as a kid, they used to tell us, you're going up to heaven or you're going down to hell. And so a lot of us always thought that what's down there is hell. And we learned that the core of the earth later on is really hot. And the Christian kids would be saying, and the Catholic kids all would be saying, it's hell. It must be hell, right? Could be. I don't know, right? But it's possible that they could have answered, but they didn't answer. Now, you may question the possibility of an answer coming from heaven. You probably won't question of a possibility of an answer stepping out from heaven and says, I'm worthy of opening the scroll. We might be open to that. You might be open to someone on the earth. In other words, your mind computes that someone from the earth could say, I'm open to that. I mean, I can probably open it. So we kind of think that. But from under the earth, we're saying, nah, who from under the earth? We're not 100% sure if an answer could come from under the earth. But if from under the earth does relate to the place of eternal punishment, then the Gospel of Luke, Dr. Luke wrote in chapter 16, verse 19 through 31, he recorded Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And both of them died. And while they're gone from the earth, it's the rich man that begins a conversation. And he says, Father Abraham, can you have Lazarus dip his finger in water and bring it over to me and put it at least on my tongue because I'm thirsty? So a couple of things are going on as you're reading this is that on the other side of, be it hell or whatever, right? They can see, they can touch, and he's speaking Father Abraham, so someone could have answered from there is my point, but it didn't. And you could read that, of course, in Luke chapter 16, but that's what was going on. It's the rich man who is being tormented that carries on the conversation. Just thought you should know that. From verse 4, we make another observation, and that is this. We find John still waiting, and I'm sure that everyone in all three places have become curious, what in the world is in that scroll? What does the scroll says, right? What are its contents? But after John realizes, and that's when you finally it sinks in, no one is worthy of opening and reading and just even looking at the scroll. After he realized it, the Bible says he wept much. Did you know that? Did you notice that? Now think about it, church. God had plans And who knows what else was written on the scroll. And it has to all come to a halt. Stop. We're at the end. Because no one's name is on a worthy roster. No one's name was on a worthy roster. John himself didn't make it to the worthy roster. Moses and the prophets are not there on the worthy roster, right? None of the disciples made it. And guess what? You and I didn't cut the mustard also. We're not on that worthy roster. We then, like John, should be weeping. We are unworthy. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be? So we should be weeping as well. Church, perhaps John is also weeping because if no one made the worthy roster, the vision, perhaps like one of yours or my greatest dreams, that we're saying, oh, this dream is so good. I can't be dreaming. I don't think I'm dreaming. And then we wake up. Oh, man, we're back on earth. You know, maybe for John, he says, if no one opens up the scroll, then I got to return back to earth. This vision or this visitation of the throne room of heaven is over with. Maybe that's why he's weeping. But check out verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, and it's behold is kind of like pointing somewhere. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Church, talk about an instant mood change for John. He was weeping much, and all of a sudden, stop weeping, dude, stop your crying. Check this out. Check who is worthy, right? So, indeed, these titles were familiar to John. So as he's hearing this Lion of Judah, this Root of David, indeed, John recognized them. He grew up with these titles. He knew that they belonged to the Messiah. So John is following that head now. Once he said, behold, and if he's going like this, John's kind of following the elder's head, you know, to find out where he's at. And so he's saying to him, behold, for this man has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. So church, John, he was anticipating. Once he heard that, he heard the titles, man, Root of Jesse, Lion of Judah. He's anticipating seeing his friend, Jesus. He's anticipating seeing the Lord, Jesus, right? His Savior. But his eyes were shocked at what he saw. He was shocked at what he saw. Verse 6, look. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. John, church, was surprised. He was totally surprised. All of us remember, in Easter time especially, we have the triumphal entry, and the Jews are all around Jesus saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, they expected Jesus to become their warrior king. That's what they expected. Well, guess what? John thought that Jesus would be dressed up as a king as well, right? But instead, he saw the sacrificial lamb. Now think about this. A lamb, as we see out here on Ogden Road, if you're ever coming through or throughout Montrose, right? A lamb is one of the most helpless, perhaps one of the most gentlest of creatures. In season, it provides wool for use, for our use, right? And then the season changes and they become prepared for slaughter. And likewise, Jesus came to earth and made himself of no reputation. He didn't come over to the earth and start walking like some of the hoodlums. From heaven, where you from? Right? None of that from Jesus. He made himself a man of no reputation.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. Pastor Ben has been going through the book of Revelation, and we've learned so much about what the final days will look like before the return of Jesus. Revelation 6, 1 through 2 says, Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, Come, and I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. The following chapters chronicle the opening of each one of the seals and the troubles and difficulties they will bring to the earth. But before this point, those who believe in Jesus will be secured in heaven, far away from the death and destruction. If you already know Jesus, then are you sharing the good news with your neighbors? You might feel nervous to bring it up, but we've got a tool to help you share. Head over to our website, calvarymontrose.com, and click on the tab that says Know God. This tool will give you confidence as you share the good news with the people around you. Come Drink the Water is a ministry out of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. Are you in the area? We would love to see you this Sunday. Everything you need to know, including our location and service times, you'll find on that same website, calvarymontrose.com. Be sure to come back again for more from Pastor Ben on Come Drink the Water. Many captives free, Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me.